Thousands in South Florida are going to sleep hungry. How can we change that? Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. According to the nonprofit Feeding South Florida, roughly 10% of the region is food insecure. That means there are thousands of people not getting enough nutrition in a day. We're going to meet the CEO of the nonprofit to talk about their plans for trying to end hunger, close out food deserts, and end the stigma with being someone in need. Also, Peter Sagal tackles politics in his comedy as host of the NPR show Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. But why is Sagal always on the run?
When you run, you're doing something that you literally evolve to do. You're actually not learning something new so much as returning to something that you knew but forgot.
We spoke to Sagal back when he came to the Miami Book Fair. His new book is called The Incomplete Book of Running. All of that today on Sundial. First, the news. Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, this holiday season, thousands of families in South Florida will be going to sleep hungry. According to the nonprofit organization Feeding South Florida's annual count, more than 700,000 people are currently food insecure in the region. For nearly 40 years, the Feeding South Florida group has partnered with schools, churches, and other groups to deliver meals to families in need. Paco Velez is the president and CEO of the organization, and he explains where are the greatest needs and why the winter months, not always the busiest months, but still a big need as we approach into the holiday season. Paco, thank you so much. I really appreciate the time.
We appreciate you guys having us. Thank you.
I also want to note, just so people know, Feeding South Florida has partnered with WLRN during the last several membership campaigns. Time and again, listeners have chosen to provide meals to the food insecure in the community more than any other thank you gift. And WLRN continues to partner with Feeding South Florida again during this winter membership campaign. Paco, I want to start with this. Define food insecurity so we know exactly what that means.
Sure. Well, first of all, I want to thank WLRN. You guys have been a fantastic partner and a membership providing over 94,000 meals to families struggling here in South Florida from Palm Beach down to the Keys. So food insecurity for us, it's lingo that food banks use to define when a family or an individual doesn't know from where they will get their next meal. When we look at hunger is a state of being at a certain time. If someone doesn't eat breakfast, they may be hungry until they get to lunch. Doesn't mean they cannot afford the breakfast or cannot afford the lunch. They're just hungry at that time. Versus food insecurity, they don't know where they're going to get their meals or their groceries in order to feed their families and their children.
And so, you know, also, I mean, when we're talking about food insecurity, does that also include people who are on food stamps, live in homeless shelters, or anything like that? Or are you counting these people differently?
No, we're counting folks that are struggling altogether. The amount of homeless that we serve is really less than 1% of the entire population that we're serving. The majority of the individuals that we serve are working families, working individuals that have children in their households, over 240,000 children in these households that we serve, as well as over 100,000 older adults that are struggling with food insecurity. Overall, it's like you said, over 700,000 individuals in the four-county area, less than 7,000 of those are the homeless population.
700,000 people in our region. That's more, a little more than 10% of the population of South Florida.
It's really high. We're in a very we're in a great area, paradise for most, but we are also in the service industry. A lot of hospitality, a lot of restaurants and hotels, and a lot of low wage paying jobs. Plus, the cost of living down here just continues to go up. So it's really that gap of what people make versus what people have to spend in order to live and play here, or I say play, but really live and survive here in South Florida.
And how are you tracking those communities? I mean, or where these folks are you know, where they're living and the ones who are food insecure?
So we have we go through a gap analysis. There's a lot of great data out there. We've also just acquired a great client management software where we can look at where the biggest need is. But we're looking at pockets of poverty, pockets of what the census tracks as the income levels, poverty, age groups, and finding out, do we have enough services there? Are enough people accessing free breakfast, free lunch, and those are for the kids at school? Are folks accessing food stamps or SNAP benefits? Are they accessing Medicaid? Do they have any senior or older adult programs in that area? So we target some of those areas based on census and based on our partner agencies.
How are you reaching these people? Is it just about, you know, having the pantries where people can come, or are you getting out to different groups? Because you're also partnering, as I mentioned, with schools, churches, different organizations.
Correct. So we have the great privilege of working with about 305 different nonprofit organizations in the four county area, and they are embedded in the community and work with the trusted source in those areas for families. So we work with churches. We also work with Salvation Armies, Camilla's House, places like that, that are really trusted in the community. Families come to those organizations, and we provide the food for those organizations to make sure that they have enough to be able to serve the families in the area. They provide us with reports, and we're able to look at those reports and really get a better understanding of the need, either in those zip codes, those census tracts, or even deeper in those block areas.
You know, since you started Feeding South Florida, I've wondered, are things getting better or worse?
That's a very interesting question. So in 1981 is when Feeding South Florida started. It was the Daily Bread Food Bank. I've been here since 2012. And although we've seen the number of individuals decrease from almost 1 million to about 700,000, the actual need in those families has increased, which the meal gap. So we call it Map the Meal Gap with Feeding America. And it's just the cost of living versus the rate of pay has increased that gap that folks aren't able to fill. And with especially you mentioned the certain seasons are greater than others. For us, it's those summer months when kids are home from school, not getting that free breakfast, free lunch. That gap increases, so we're seeing a bigger gap in those families. So the amount of need increases for those 700,000 individuals than across the entire county.
I want to get a sense of where the need is greatest. And you think about South Florida. I mean, from Palm Beach County down to the Keys, very diverse community. Now Miami, especially, it's a Latino community, and you have a lot of immigrants here. But where do you see the greatest need? Where are these folks at? Who are they?
It's interesting that you say that, because you can't really see the faces are just like everybody else's faces. And when we bring in the Youth Ambassador Program, and parents come in with their children, elementary school children, so they can learn more about hunger and are very interested about hunger and want to take it back to their schools, it is then when their parents realize that their children is asking for extra food at lunch so they can help one of their
take
friends.
Well,
so
or
they
help
can
their friends.
Help their friends at school, and their parents are one, proud, but also shocked that that's an issue, because they don't really see it. And it's the same thing anywhere we go. Miami, you mentioned, is such a very diverse place that in these neighborhoods you'll see a lot of wealth, and in those same neighborhoods you'll see extreme poverty, side by side. Whereas in other areas you'll see. In Belgrade is predominantly low income, and then the island is predominantly high income.
Right.
It just changes here in Miami, where it's just all over the place, and you'll have other areas, bigger pockets like Overtown and Liberty City.
Again, we're talking with Paco Velez. He's CEO and president of Feeding South Florida. We're discussing the challenges of trying to help people in need, and we're learning that there are a lot of people who are food insecure. Now, we're going to continue this conversation in a moment. Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN during this winter membership campaign. Thank you again for your support. Well, let's return to our conversation with Paco Velez. He's the CEO and president of Feeding South Florida, and we're talking about the number of people in South Florida who are food insecure and the best ways we can try to help them. You know, actually, Paco, I wanted to ask you, what inspires you? What is it that drives you? And you spent so many years now trying to help feed so many people.
So it's a long time ago, I was grew up in Texas, on the border, in the border town, and was always involved in service. Really, it was altar boy serving the altars, serving the church. Same thing when I was growing up in high school, in customer service in some of the retail stores. And it really didn't dawn on me until much later in life that this is really what I want to do. Is I want to serve my community, serve my neighborhood, serve folks that really could use the help. And so I get the question all the time, or I get the statement, your work must be very rewarding, and you must go home and feel good about what you've done. And when you go to a distribution, we have dozens and dozens of distributions every single week, distributed 50 million pounds of food just last year alone to the over 700,000 individuals. You go to a distribution and you see the child, or you see the scene, or you see the family excited about getting fresh produce, excited about getting food for the week. But it quickly dissipates. You realize that there's so much more that has to be done, so much more that we can do around helping families with different life skills and maybe in workforce development, which is what Feeding South Florida is getting into. So this just what drives me is making sure that our children, our families, our seniors have food on the table to continue to live.
One of the challenges that you have is the stigma around people in need, whether it's students who have to have the free or reduced lunch, people who have to go to a pantry to get help. It's that stigma, and people feel shame. How do you fight that? Part of it has to be in helping them get over it, but also helping other people understand this, you know, there's no shame in this at all. And if somebody needs help, they need help.
So we're seeing families at some of their worst times in their lives, having to realize or come to the realization that they cannot put food on the table, keep the lights on, keep the car going all at the same time, and coming in and really having to just say, I need help. It's not really easy for anybody to do, especially for families who are struggling with a basic need, which is food. So we do a lot of publicity, a lot of interviews, and we talk to a lot of volunteers. We talk to anyone we can about the needs in the community and try to dispel those myths about the needs in the community. And it really is majority of the individuals or families we serve are working families, or the seniors that have already worked and are on either Social Security or on disability or both. And so it's trying to dispel some of those myths.
One of the other things I find fascinating and shocking is the fact that we have food deserts. This is, as you said, paradise. And it's a service industry area, and there's food everywhere. But how do we have food deserts, and how are you dealing with that challenge?
It is a paradise, and we have restaurants everywhere.
And by the way, define that real quickly, just in case, the food desert.
Sure. Food desert is an area where folks don't have access to a grocery store, but more importantly, fresh produce and healthy items. And what a lot of people don't know, even folks that live here in South Florida, is that Palm Beach and Miami-Dade are two of the biggest agricultural counties in the United States. Definitely this side of the Mississippi, Palm Beach County by far is the largest agricultural county in southeastern United States. Even then, it's still difficult to get food from where it is and those who have it onto the table of those who need it because of either the cost, the accessibility, which is the food desert comes in. So what we tell people is those folks that are helping us put food on everyone else's table are struggling to put food on their own table. Miami-Dade is over $1 billion industry in the agricultural. Palm Beach County is almost a $2 billion industry in agriculture. So we have the food.
And you have a relationship you've been trying to build with farmers. Because, you know, you're trying to get that food there. One of the interesting things, too, is the fact that some people may know this, maybe they don't, but there's a lot of food they grow that gets tossed out, and you're trying to get that food.
Right. So there's a couple of things. The first is the produce that doesn't look the way you think it's supposed to look.
It has to look very attractive for the stores to buy it.
Right.
Yes.
So if you can imagine a zucchini that's about 2.5, maybe 3 feet long, and each zucchini weighs about 5-7 pounds. Those are the zucchinis that we get at Feeding South Florida compared to the little small ones that look like a hot dog that folks will see at the store. So we get the ones that are cosmetically different. Now, nothing wrong with them. Still delicious. Still very, very fresh. They come off the coal line, and the coal line is where the produce goes down a conveyor belt. Things that don't look like they can sell at market or don't look cosmetically correct, we'll get that. The other produce that goes to waste is the one that just gets tilled back into the soil. And so we work with the growers or the farmers to use their labor force, reimburse them for that labor force, make sure they're getting paid, and then rescue that produce from the fields.
Right now, because I mentioned earlier, is that, you know, we're going into the winter holiday, and, I mean, this is the time people feel like giving. But this isn't the busiest time for you. It's actually summertime.
Correct. So summertime is really when everything really hits our families. So you look at utility bills going up because it's so hot here in South Florida. So air conditioners going or fans are going or something's going in their homes. You have the cost of fuel starts going up, and as well as the evaporation of that fuel, which is why they ask people to fuel up in the evening rather during the daytime because of that evaporation. The other part is kids are home from school. So they're no longer getting their free breakfast at school or free lunch at school. So now the family has to provide those meals for the kids. And in some cases, our families have to pay for daycare or some sort of child care for that. So there's a lot of expense for our families and really not a lot of assistance during the summer months, especially when produce season goes away.
So how can people help you out during the holiday season?
So for us, it's really a big logistical challenge right now. It's how do we get food from those who have it on and under the tables of those who need it? We have a fleet of about 20 trucks, 20 drivers. It's about rescuing food, getting it not only from South Florida, but we also work with our sister food banks across the state and across the country to bring it in. It's about paying that transportation.
Paco Vella, CEO and President of Feeding South Florida. Again, WLRN partnering with Feeding South Florida during the last several membership campaigns and doing it still again for this winter membership campaign. Paco, it's been a pleasure, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you.